So I'll continue with the advantages of bodhicitta next time. I wanted to leave some time for questions and answers now. Yeah. Okay. So you mix up bodhicitta with compassion. Compassion is the wish for others to be free of suffering and its cause. Okay? Compassion is a cause for bodhicitta. So first you develop compassion, but you can have compassion and still not want to become a Buddha. Okay? And you can have compassion but still not want to really engage in the process of helping others. So compassion is a step you develop first, and then by developing your compassion, you go further steps and develop the bodhicitta and the wish to become a Buddha. Well, no, they're both aspirations. They're both mental states. Okay? But compassion, you're wanting others to be free of suffering and its cause, but you're not yet necessarily aspiring to doing anything about it yourself. Okay? And you're not necessarily yet aspiring to become a Buddha so that you can do something about it. So that's why they say compassion is the cause for bodhicitta. Okay? But it's a very important cause, and so it's very highly praised. Because without compassion, you can't have bodhicitta. If I can just kind of elaborate, you didn't ask this question, but this might be useful information. In the Theravada tradition, they say that not everybody can become a Buddha. Everybody can become an arhat, but there's only 1,000 Buddhas in this particular eon. Shakyamuni is the fourth, so there's only 1,000 beings in this particular eon who will become fully enlightened Buddhas through doing the bodhisattva practice. And everybody else can become arhats. So becoming arhat is wonderful. Okay? So in the Mahayana tradition, they say actually everybody can become a Buddha, because everybody has the Buddha potential, and there's more Buddhas than just the 1,000 in this particular eon. In terms of this degenerate age, they say, yeah, you can become a Buddha. That's why Tantra is so effective in the degenerate age. Yeah, I think as the age gets more and more degenerate, the ability to practice becomes more and more difficult. Okay, because it's harder to generate wisdom, it's harder to generate concentration, it's harder to keep ethics. Okay, and so there is much more obstacles, and at a certain point in it, they say, okay, during this period, people can't get higher realizations than a certain thing. But in the Tibetan tradition, they say because of the tantric practice, if you practice well, and, you know, if we start out with the Mahayana practice, all these degenerate things can become fuel for your practice through the thought transformation, and that's why thought transformation is so important, because the times are so degenerate. And then based on the thought transformation, if you then do tantra, then that helps transform the difficulties of the degenerate age into the path. From the side of the bodhisattvas, they would be totally delighted to be reborn in the hell realm. Okay? Now, whether they actually do or not, I'm not sure. It probably depends on the karma of those particular hell realm beings. Okay? But from the side of the bodhisattva, he or she is completely happy to do that. To help others. Well, I'd be reborn in the lower realm to help others. Because you have to appear in a way and in an environment to communicate with others very directly. That's why they say that there could be many Buddhas amongst us right now, but they look like Joe Blow, who we criticize. But the reason that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas may appear as Joe Blow is because that way we can relate to them. Whereas if, you know, Buddha walked in here with a golden body and 32 signs and 80 marks, I mean, we would just go like, I mean, we couldn't relate at all. and say, he's so far above us, how can we possibly become like that? But it's a bodhisattva manifests amongst us as somebody who's extraordinary that gives you the idea, wow, look, that person's a human being, but look what they're like. I can do that. I can become like them. Then that's a real skillful way for helping us. Okay? So in a human realm, a bodhisattva may manifest that way. Or they may manifest in a way that directly helps people by giving them food and clothing and other things. Or a bodhisattva may manifest as an animal and somehow teach the animals the dharma. Okay? And similarly in the hell realm, if those beings have the karma, if they have some openness and receptivity, then a bodhisattva can manifest. And in whichever way is possible, they may not be able to teach the dharma, they may only be possible to put out a little bit of the fire or something like that, then because that's beneficial, then they do that. It's interesting, in the Chinese temples, they don't do this in the Tibetan temples, but in the Chinese temples, when you wake up in the morning, they ring this enormous gong. They have, you know, a wooden thing. Like in the park, in the international district, they have, you know, the gong and the wood. So in the Chinese temples, they ring this huge gong 108 times to get you up in the morning. And they say that when the hell realm beings hear the Dharma gong, that it alleviates a little bit their suffering. Okay? So they say when you think in the morning, you know, when you wake up in the morning, when you're, you know, getting out of your own mud and fog of the night, you know, if you think about this, it makes the mind happy to hear the bell. Okay, so let's just sit quietly and digest for a few minutes.